Welcome to the Chinese Lore Podcast, where I retell classic Chinese stories in English. This is episode 56 of Investiture of the Gods. Last time, the Shang sent yet another army against Western Qi, this one led by the commander Zhang Shan. Western Qi sent the former Shang commander Deng Jiugong, who recently defected, to go fight him. The two traded blows outside the city for 30-some bouts without a winner. Seeing that her father was starting to falter, Deng Jiugong's daughter, Deng Chanyu, galloped out and hurled a pebble. It struck Zhang Shan in the face and almost knocked him off his horse. Zhang Shan quickly retreated back to his camp in defeat, and the Zhou forces returned to the city in triumph. The next day, Zhang Shan was still seething as he tended to his injury when word came that a Taoist was seeking an audience. He summoned the man and saw that he had his hair tied up in two coils and wore a sword on his back. They traded greetings and the Taoist asked Zhang Shan about the big bruise on his face. "A female warrior took a cheap shot at me on the battlefield yesterday," Zhang Shan told him. The Taoist now took out some ointment and applied it to the bruise, and it healed almost immediately. That prompted Zhang Shan to ask the Taoist for his name. "I hail from Peng Lai Island. My name is the Winged Celestial," the Taoist said. "I have come to lend you a hand." Zhang Shan thanked him, and the next day, Winged Celestial went to the foot of the city and asked to speak with Jiang Ziya. When the guards reported this to Jiang Ziya, he said, "Western Qi is destined to face attacks by 36 armies. We have weathered 32 of them, and there are 4 left. Looks like I have to go out and meet this one too." So he and his army rode out and lined up, looking quite impressive. Across the way, they saw a Taoist with strange features, a beak-like mouth and sunken cheeks, vicious eyes that glowed, and a gourd and a sword on his back. Jiang Ziya exchanged greetings with this Taoist and asked for his name and reason for being here. The man replied, "I am the Winged Celestial from Peng Lai Island. Jiang Ziya, let me ask you this. Are you not a disciple of the Chan sect? What skills do you have that you would dare to curse my name in front of others and boast that you would pluck my feathers and rip out my bones and tendons? We have never crossed paths, so why must you badmouth me like this?" Jiang Ziya bowed and said, "My Taoist friend, maybe you have the wrong man. We have never crossed paths, so how would I even know about you? Someone must be spreading lies and falsely accusing me of offending you. We have never met, so why would I say such things? Please, think it through." Winged Celestial contemplated this and thought, "You know, he does have a point." He then said to Jiang Ziya, "Your words may be reasonable, but this could not have come from thin air. In any case, you watch yourself from now on. If you cause any more trouble, I'm going to have it out with you. You may go." Jiang Ziya was like, "Huh, well, that was the easiest battle I've ever had." He was just about to get back on his ride and return to the city, but Lotus Boy Ne Jia was pissed. "How dare that scoundrel act so disrespectful towards you, Taoist uncle?" He fumed as he rolled forward on his fire wheels and stabbed at Winged Celestial with his fiery spear. Winged Celestial chuckled, "Heavenly Primogenitor, your disciples are such bullies!" He now drew his sword and fought Ne Jia. From the Zhou side, Huang Tianhua, Thunderbolt, Tu Xingsun, and Yang Jian all rushed out to join the fight as they encircled Winged Celestial. After a few exchanges, Ne Jia saw that Winged Celestial was no ordinary foe, so he staged a preemptive strike by hurling his universal ring at his opponent. The ring struck Winged Celestial's shoulder armor, making him furrow his brow as he tried to turn and flee. But just then, Huang Tianhua let loose his heart-piercing needle, which flew through Winged Celestial's right arm. Tu Xingsun, meanwhile, landed several blows to his legs with his staff, and Yang Jian's sky-barking hound sank its teeth into his neck. Besieged from all sides, Winged Celestial let out a loud cry and fast-traveled away. While Jiang Ziya and company returned to the city in victory, Winged Celestial limped back into the Shang camp, where Zhang Shan met him and said, "Master, you were ambushed by those villains today and suffered injuries." "No worries," Winged Celestial replied. "I was just caught off guard." He quickly retrieved a couple magic pills from his flower basket and swallowed them with some water, and his wounds healed momentarily. He then told Zhang Shan, "On account of compassion, I didn't want to take their lives, and yet they decided to harm me. They are bringing about their own doom. bring me some wine. Let's drink to our heart's content. And then later tonight, I'm going to turn Western Qi into an ocean. Zhang Shan was delighted at that promise, so he laid out a banquet. Meanwhile, inside Western Qi, Jiang Ziya and company were discussing their victory, when suddenly, a wind blew several pieces of tiles off the roof. Jiang Ziya quickly burned some incense and cast a divination with a gold coin, and the result left him terrified. He hurriedly bathed, changed clothes, and kowtowed in the direction of Kunlun Mountain. Then, he let his hair down, pulled out his sword, and uttered an incantation. And just like he did once before, he moved the water of the North Sea to act as a shield over Western Qi. Meanwhile, his master, Heavenly Primogenitor, had seen what was going on from his palace on Kunlun Mountain, so he sprinkled some of his sacred water on top of the water from the North Sea and ordered four deities who were known as the Divine Chanters of Truths to protect the city. Around 7 o'clock that night, Winged Celestial told Zhang Shan to put away the wine. He then walked out of the camp and showed his true form, which was a giant golden-winged rock, which was a huge mythical bird. He now soared into the air, where his wings blocked out half the sky. As he flew over the city, he looked down and saw the North Sea hovering above it. Winged Celestial couldn't help but laugh and scoff. Jiang Ziya, you fool! You don't know my powers. I just need a few flaps of my wings to blow away the waters of the four seas, much less just one sea. And so, he started to flap his wings. But there was just one problem. The water was not going anywhere, thanks to the extra power boost that Heavenly Primogenitor had provided. Winged Celestial now flapped his wings frantically, about 70 or 80 times, but to no avail. By the time 5 AM rolled around, the waters of the North Sea were almost lapping at his claws, and he was exhausted from a night of non-stop flapping. If this goes on until dawn and other people see it, it's going to look really bad for me, he thought to himself in shame. Too embarrassed to go back to camp to face Zhang Shan after all the boasting he had done, Winged Celestial now flew off in a huff. After a while, he flew past an exquisite mountain cavern that looked like the abode of immortals. He noticed a Taoist seated with his back leaning against the walls of the cave. Winged Celestial thought to himself, why don't I catch that guy and eat him to sate my hunger, and then figure out what to do? So he swooped down toward the Taoist, but the Taoist merely pointed at him, and Winged Celestial immediately crashed to the ground. The Taoist opened his eyes and said, you're so rude, why did you try to harm me? To tell you the truth, I was on my way to go fight against Western Qi, Winged Celestial said. I got hungry and wanted to eat you, but I didn't realize how powerful you were. My apologies. If you were hungry, all you had to do was ask me, and I would tell you where to go find food, the Taoist said. Why did you have to try to harm me? So rude. In any case, I'll tell you. There's a mountain 70 miles from here called Purple Cloud Cliff. Taoists from all the sacred mountains go there for delicious vegetarian meals. You should go at once, or you'll be late. Winged Celestial thanked him for the tip and took to the air again. Soon, he approached the mountain and saw numerous Taoists gathered there, while a young acolyte was hurrying back and forth with plates of food for them. Winged Celestial descended and said to the acolyte, greetings, I have come for a meal. The acolyte said, oh no, master, you should have come earlier, the food is all gone. How can it be all gone as soon as I show up? We had food earlier, but you're late and all the food has been given to the others. You have to wait until tomorrow. You just have it out for me, Winged Celestial said angrily. Well, I demand to be fed. As the two started to argue, a Taoist in yellow came over and asked, what's up? The young acolyte said, this master arrived late, but he insists on having food, but we don't have any more. That's why we were arguing. Do we still have some cakes left? The Taoist in yellow asked. We do have some cakes, but no other food, the young acolyte replied. Cakes will do fine, just bring them to me quickly, Winged Celestial said. So the acolyte brought the cakes, and Winged Celestial, in his famished state, devoured about 80 of them in one sitting. And then he asked for more, so the acolyte brought another dozen or so, which he also devoured, consuming a total of 108 cakes. With his hunger sated, Winged Celestial thanked his hosts, assumed his real form, and flew back toward Western Qi. On the way, he once again passed by the exquisite cavern. That same Taoist was still sitting there, and now he pointed at Winged Celestial, and the latter immediately tumbled to the ground, crying out in pain as his innards felt like they were being torn asunder. As Winged Celestial rolled around and cried out in agony, that Taoist got up, slowly approached, and said, "How did you end up like this after going to the feast?" "I ate some cakes and now my stomach hurts." "Well, in that case, you should try to throw up the cakes, since they obviously don't agree with you." So Winged Celestial opened his beak to vomit, but he was shocked by what came out. It was a string of shining white beads the size of eggs, resembling a silver cord. He tried to pull the string out, but it felt like the other end was latched to his heart, and every tug sent waves of pain through his innards. By now, Winged Celestial was catching on to the fact that something wasn't quite right here. Just then, the other Taoist rubbed his own face and shouted, "You scoundrel! Do you recognize me?" Winged Celestial looked and saw that it was none other than Master Burning Lamp, one of the Chan sect's senior members. "You scoundrel!" Burning Lamp continued. "On my master's command, Jiang Ziya is helping the Sage Lord to put down the chaos, save the people, and punish the wicked. Why did you act so viciously to help evil? You even tried to eat me!" He then summoned a divine bodyguard and told him, "Tie this beast up and hang him in that pine tree. Once Jiang Ziya has put down the Shang, then maybe I'll let you down." Winged Celestial pleaded, "Master, please show compassion and spare me. I was a fool and was misled by others. I will never dare to have designs on Western Qi again." Burning Lamp told him, "You have attained the Tao for a long time, so how can you not recognize destiny and confuse right and wrong? And you even allowed yourself to be misled by others? That is truly despicable and unpardonable." Winged Celestial kept pleading, "Please take pity on the fact that I have spent millennia cultivating my Tao." "Well, if you are willing to change your ways and follow the path of the righteous, then you must accept me as your master. Then I will release you," Burning Lamp said. Winged Celestial immediately agreed, so Burning Lamp pointed at him, and 108 prayer beads came pouring out of Winged Celestial's beak. Once released, Winged Celestial pledged himself to Burning Lamp as a disciple and followed him back to his mountain abode. So let's leave Western Qi for now and hop on over to Peach Orchard Cave on Nine Immortals Mountain, where Grand Completion, a member of the Chan sect's class of 12, resided. Since he broke the prohibition against killing to help Jiang Ziya, he has been staying in the cave in quiet meditation and ignoring the outside world. But one day, White Kring Acolyte, the attendant to his master, Heavenly Primogenitor, showed up and announced that Jiang Ziya would soon be appointed to lead a punitive expedition against the Shang, and that the members of the Chan sect were to go to Western Qi to see him off. After White Kring Acolyte left, Grand Completion was suddenly reminded of one of his disciples. This was Yin Jiao, the former crown prince of the Shang. Like his younger brother, Yin Jiao had run afoul of King Zhou, his psychopath of a father, after Da Ji conspired to frame and kill Yin Jiao's mother, the queen. When Yin Jiao was about to be executed, Grand Completion whisked him away and took him in as a disciple. Now, Grand Completion thought to himself, "Since Jiang Ziya is going to invade the East, I can send Yin Jiao to help him on the campaign. That way, Yin Jiao can return to his home soil and he can capture Da Ji to avenge his mother." Grand Completion obviously had not checked the Chan sect Slack channel for a while, otherwise he would have heard what happened to Yin Jiao's little brother Yin Hong and thought twice about this plan. But in any case, he summoned Yin Jiao and told him, "The Martial King will soon invade the East and convene with the other nobles to punish the wicked. This is your time to seek revenge. I want to send you to go help pave the way. Will you do it?" "Master, I may be King Zhou's son, but Da Ji has wronged me," Yin Jiao said. "My father listened to her wicked words, killed my mother, and tried to kill his own sons. I have never forgotten my mother's unjust death. Today, you have shown great compassion in giving me this task. How can I not go? If I refused, what would be the point of living? Grand Completion told him, go to Lion Cliff outside the cave and find a weapon. Then, I will teach you some Taoist magic before you go. So Yin Jiao went out to Lion Cliff to look for a weapon. There, he saw a cave next to a white stone bridge. Inside the cave was a hall with twin doors, lofty chambers, green meadows, willow trees, and lotus flowers. Huh, I haven't been here before. Let me check it out, Yin Jiao thought to himself. So he crossed the bridge and approached the cave entrance. As he got near, the twin doors automatically swung open, revealing a stone table. There weren't any weapons on the table, but rather, 6 or 7 steaming hot beans. Yin Jiao picked up one of the beans and ate it, and tasted its sweet, uncommon flavor. It was so delicious that he couldn't help but gulp down the rest of the beans. Having polished off these legumes of mysterious origins, he now left the cave to resume his search for the weapon that his master had promised. When he crossed back over the stone bridge, he turned around and was stunned to find that the cave had disappeared. Just as he was puzzling over this, he suddenly felt his bones rattling. Before he could react, an extra arm had poked out from his left shoulder. Yin Jiao turned pale. But just then, another arm poked out from his right side, and then another, and another. And suddenly, an extra head emerged from his neck, while more limbs started to appear. By the time it was all said and done, he found himself with 3 heads and 6 arms. This left him speechless, despite his 2 extra mouths. Just then, his master's attendant came by and said, Taoist brother, our master is calling for you. When Yin Jiao approached, Grand Completion saw that, in addition to his new heads and appendages, he now had a blue face, red hair, protruding fangs, and a third eye. Grand Completion clapped and laughed, saying, amazing! Thanks to the Sage Lord's good fortunes, we have been blessed by heaven with an uncommon man. He then led Yin Jiao into the peach orchard and taught him how to fight with a halberd. He then told his disciple, you go on first to Western Qi, and I will be along shortly. Grand Completion next gave his disciple 3 magical MacGuffins, his heaven-churning seal, his soul-dropping bell, and his yin-yang swords. Yin Jiao thanked his master and was about to take his leave, but Grand Completion said, hold on, I have something to say to you. I have given you all my magical treasures. You must act in accordance with the will of heaven and men. Go help the Zhou march east and punish the wicked. Do not change your mind, hesitate, or violate heaven's will, or it would be too late for regrets. Master, you don't need to worry, Yin Jiao said. The martial king is a sage lord, while my father is a muddle-headed tyrant. How can I mistake them and go against your teachings? If I break my word, may I be executed with a plow. So first, executed with a plow? Well, that's a rather implausible way to go. And second, considering how this is shaping up to be a callback to what happened to Yin Jiao's little brother, I guess being plowed to death is probably not so far-fetched after all. In any case, Yin Jiao left the mountain and began fast-traveling toward Western Qi. Along the way, he made a pit stop on a tall mountain with towering peaks and cliffs covered with pine trees. Monkeys howled in the forests, and serpents and sprites wandered in the valley streams. Mountain birds flew overhead, and deer and foxes scampered about. Just as Yin Jiao was taking in the scenery, he suddenly heard the sound of a gong from some nearby woods. He saw a man with a blue face and red hair dashing out atop a red horse, dressed in golden armor and red battle robe. He had 3 eyes and wielded 2 wolf-tooth maces. As this guy galloped up the mountainside, he noticed that Yin Jiao also had 3 eyes, not to mention 3 heads and 6 arms. So he shouted, who are you, 3 eyes? How dare you look around my mountain? I am none other than Yin Jiao, the crown prince of King Zhou. When the man heard that, he quickly dismounted, kneeled, and said, my prince, why have you come to White Dragon Mountain? I am going to Western Qi to see Jiang Ziya on my master's command. Just then, another man galloped up the mountain. He also had 3 eyes and wore a helmet and a pale yellow robe. He wielded a steel spear, rode a white horse, and had a fair complexion with a long mustache and beard. "Who is that?" the man shouted. "Come and pay your respects to the crown prince," his blue-faced comrade replied. So this man also dismounted and kneeled. The two of them then invited Yin Jiao to their base. There, they asked him to take the center seat in the main hall while they kneeled again. Yin Jiao helped them to their feet and asked for their names. The blue-faced man replied, "My name is Wen Liang, and the clear-faced man here is Ma Shan. You two have uncommon appearances. You must have the ambitions of heroes as well," Yin Jiao said. "Why don't you follow me to Western Qi and help the Martial King attack the Shang?" "But why are you helping the Zhou attack the Shang?" the two men asked. "The Shang has run its course while the House of Zhou is ascendant. Besides, my father has committed 10 great offenses against the realm, and all the nobles of the land are following the will of heaven and man. The good will punish the wicked, and the unvirtuous will give way to the virtuous. This is the way, and it cannot change for my family's sake." "Judging by your highness's words, you truly place the world before your family," Wen Liang and Ma Shan said. "That is the action of a true man." So they now threw a feast to celebrate. Then Yin Jiao ordered his new recruits' bandits to change their colors to those of the Zhou. They burned their base and set out again toward Western Qi, along the main thoroughfare. Yeah, this is not shaping up to be like his little brother's experience at all. While Yin Jiao's entourage was traveling, the guards at the front suddenly came to report, "A Taoist is approaching on a tiger and has asked to see your highness." Uh-oh, we all know who this was and what's coming. Yin Jiao ordered his army to halt, and he summoned the Taoist, who was of course Shen Gongbao. Shen Gongbao now came over, introduced himself, and asked where Yin Jiao was headed. "On my master's command, I am heading to Western Qi to help the Zhou. My Taoist uncle Jiang Xia will soon be appointed to lead an expedition against the Shang, so I am going to help him." Shen Gongbao smiled and said, "Tell me, who is King Zhou to you?" "Well, he's my father." "What? Again?" Shen Gongbao scoffed. "How can a son help outsiders wage war against his own father? This goes against all rules of propriety. Your father will soon pass on, and as his crown prince, you should inherit his enterprise and do honor to your ancestors. How can you help others extinguish your own kingdom and destroy your own ancestral temples? This is unheard of. After you die, how can you face the spirits of all the former kings of the Shang? In my view, you possess treasures that can pacify the realm and an appearance that can bring order to the universe. Listen to me. Protect what's yours and eliminate the unjust House of Zhou. That is the right path." To this, Yin Jiao said, "Master, you may be right, but this is the will of heaven. My father is unjust and has lost the mandate of heaven and the hearts of the people. The Martial King is ascendant, and all the nobles have pledged their allegiance to him. My master instructed me to go help Jiang Xia on his eastern expedition. How can I disobey my master? I cannot follow your advice." "Wait, what's this?" Yin Jiao is actually not moved by Shen Gongbao's wicked tongue. "Well, just wait." Shen Gongbao now took a different tack. "My prince, you say that Jiang Xia is virtuous. Where has he shown this virtue?" Shen Gongbao asked. "Jiang Xia is fair and just," Yin Jiao replied. "He treats talented men with respect and acts with compassion, honor, and humanity. He is a kind, virtuous gentleman. All under heaven respect him. So how can you slight him?" "Ah, you are in the dark," Shen Gongbao retorted. "I have heard that if one is virtuous, one does not end another's family or kill the innocent and then brag about it. Sure, your father has wronged the world. But what about your brother Yin Hong? I heard that he had gone to help the Zhou, but that Jiang Xia didn't want to share the credit with him, so he used his magic map to turn your brother into ashes. Is that the act of a virtuous man or an unvirtuous man? You have forsaken your flesh and blood to help the enemy. I can't stand to see it." Yin Jiao was shocked. "Master, is this true?" he asked. "Everyone knows about it, so how could I make it up?" Shen Gongbao replied. "To tell you the truth, right now Zhang Shan is leading a Shang army at Western Qi. You just need to go ask him. If Yin Hong is okay, then you can still go to Western Qi. but if Yin Hong is truly dead, then you should avenge your brother, and I will recruit another talented man to help you." Having done his dirty deed, Shen Gongbao got back on his tiger and rode away, leaving Yin Jiao in a state of uncertainty as he continued his march to Western Qi. Along the way, Yin Jiao thought to himself, "My brother has never done wrong to the world, so why would Jiang Xia kill him? This must be false. But if Jiang Xia really did so, then I swear I will avenge my brother." To see which way Yin Jiao will go once he gets to Western Qi, tune in to the next episode of the Chinese Lore Podcast. Thanks for listening.